Hello and welcome to Fatima Today. This show is produced by the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army, and brings topics to you, our viewers, related to the events in the world today. We live in tumultuous times when logic seems to have disappeared and uncertainty hangs over us. Our hope on these programs is to address the issues of the day and find solutions through adherence to the laws of God, especially through the message of Fatima. We ask that you subscribe to this podcast.
Welcome to Fatima Today. My name is Barb Ernster. I'm your host, and I'm joined with my co-host, Katie Moran. Welcome, Katie.
Oh, glad to be here.
So we're coming up on the Feast of Divine Mercy. We just celebrated the Easter season, and if we're still in the octave of Easter, and Divine Mercy Sunday is coming up. Really excited to talk about this. There's so much to share about the Fatima message and the Divine Mercy message. Sister Lucia of Fatima was the herald of the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, just as Saint Faustina is the herald of Divine Mercy. And they kind of flow one from the other. There's so many connections between these two visions, and they're so important for our world today. And so that's what we want to talk about today. So again, welcome, Katie, but I want to start with a Hail Mary. Please join me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death, amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So interestingly, again, when we look at these two apparitions, Mary comes before Jesus comes to St. Faustina. She comes to set the world on fire with this devotion to her Immaculate Heart. And it's asking us to say yes to our Lord and to say yes to his will for us every day and to be entrusting ourselves to her heart because she's going to lead us to the heart of Jesus. Then we see that, St. Faustina starts receiving the visions of the Divine Mercy in the 1930s. And we see the Lord telling the world that mankind must turn to his heart and his mercy, or it will never know peace. So both the apparitions of Fatima and the Divine Mercy talk extensively about grace and mercy, devotion to the Eucharist, and peace in the world, and conversion of sinners. All these things are so closely united in these two. So, Katie, I'm going to let you kind of take this show. We're going to start by talking about what we call the last vision of Fatima that was given to Sister Lucia on June 13, 1929. The reason it's called the last vision of Fatima is because it's when the church approved the Fatima apparitions. What they approved was the start of the apparitions with the Angel of Peace in 1916, all the way to this last vision on June 13, 1929, when Our Lady came to ask for the consecration of Russia. But there's so much more that happened during that vision. So let's talk about that.
So with these two, you know, one heralds the other. There are two devotions that are intimately linked, and there's like five points that we'll try and discuss in this brief half hour of how they're linked together. Well, in the last apparition, we know Sister Lucia was in the chapel praying, and she saw the vision of the Trinity, our Lord on the cross, God the Father above him, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, Our Lady standing there, holding her Immaculate Heart. And then there was a chalice with a host above it, dripping blood into it. And then off to the side of our Lord on the other side were the words, graces and mercy. Now we know she was told that visions of the Trinity and understanding of the Trinity that she couldn't tell us. But these graces and mercies are linked very closely to the Divine Mercy apparitions because it was on February 22nd, 1931, just four short years later, that Sister Faustina saw our Lord. He appeared to her as the King of Divine Mercy. And she said, when he came there, he raised a hand in blessing, touching the garment at his breast. From the opening was his breast. There came forth two large rays, one red and one pale. And she looked at it. She didn't understand it. And our Lord told her what it meant. The rays denote blood and water. The pale ray stands for the water, which makes souls righteous. The red stands for the blood, which is the life of souls. And these two rays issued forth from the depths of my tender mercy when my agonized heart was opened by a lance on the cross. These rays shield souls from the wrath of my Father. Happy is he who dwells in their shelter. So here we have him talking mercy. And of course, in the last apparition of Fatima, graces. We know the Fatima message, Barb, just talks about this. Graces. We must pray for the graces to come down so that people will mend their lives and stop sinning and offending God. Our Lord comes here and now asks for mercy,
yes,
which is the two words that came down on the side on the last apparitions, graces and mercy. And the blood and water is coming to cleanse and save sinners. And we know Our Lady asked for that, for reparation of that. And, you know, it precludes the act of mercy that Our Lord would come and later ask for.
Right.
You know, Our Lord told St. Faustina, write this for many souls who are often worried because they do not have material means which to carry out an act of mercy. Spiritual mercy, which requires neither permissions nor storehouses, is very meritorious. This message of graces and mercy is a strong link between the two of them. And it's a very positive link, gives us hope.
Well, it's interesting, in the Fatima apparition, at that vision, Our Lady standing beneath the cross, beneath the side where the host is dripping blood into the chalice. She's holding her Immaculate Heart enthroned with thorns. And what do we learn from the Fatima apparitions? We learn that this devotion to her Immaculate Heart, and that we are to turn to her and ask for the graces. So she's in this vision because she's interceding for us. She's interceding before her Son on the cross, imploring the graces we need. They flow from Christ's crucifixion, from his heart. The graces are dispensed because of his giving himself up to the Father in death. So the graces come from him, but she's imploring that intercession for us. And then we come to the Divine Mercy message, and Jesus himself is telling the world, my mercy is an ocean. It's infinite. You know, the most hardened sinner has the greatest right to my mercy. And both these apparitions are calling us to do spiritual acts of mercy by praying for the souls of those who are needing it. Both the messages of Fatima and the Divine Mercy call for us to pray for sinners and call for us to make reparation. Our Lord told St. Faustina the greatest prayer that he likes, the prayer that he answers the most, the prayer that he likes the most is the prayer for the conversion of sinners. That's the most pleasing to him. Well, that's constantly asked for by our Blessed Mother in the Fatima apparitions.
Especially the Decade Prayer.
Yeah, so to look at these two visions, the last vision of Fatima and the image of the Divine Mercy, and see the connection and how Our Lady ties in with this and what Our Lord is trying to teach us with these two apparitions is very powerful.
Mercy is mentioned in Fatima. It's mentioned when the angel appeared, Designs of Mercy, on July 13, 1917, Oh My Jesus, the Decade Prayer, pray for those most need of thy mercy, the Pardon Prayer. Mercy is constantly running through Fatima. And I think she was just preparing the world from when Our Lord would come and really ask for it.
And we know that in the Divine Mercy message, Our Lord asked for deeds of mercy, including to be praying for people and to offer ourselves in reparation. And that's, of course, in the Fatima message as well. I always tell people, when you're doing the First Saturday devotion, when you're praying your rosary, when you're offering up your day for others, those are spiritual acts of mercy. And Our Lord demanded acts of mercy in the Divine Mercy message, if we ourselves are to be shown mercy. So we see this theme of grace and mercy running through both of these apparitions very strongly. Both of them call all of us to powerfully be, working with Our Lord and Our Lady in this mission of salvation of souls on earth, that we're participating with them. We're participating with Jesus and his cross. We're picking up our own crosses and following him, and Our Lady is there because she's the greatest example of a disciple, the one who went all the way to the cross with him. But I want to get to some of the other connections between these two.
Yeah. The next link, Barb, is, I don't want to call it negative, but it's more of a warning. Mm-hmm. Because we know Jesus said on September 13th, interesting he chose that date. That's one of the Fatima apparitions date, 1935. In the Chaplet of Mercy is a way of obtaining God's mercy for the world. And she describes how she saw St. Faustina, a powerful angel who was the executor of divine wrath, who was about to strike the world for our sins. And she felt helpless by this threat, but was taken up before the throne of God, pleading him for the world with words she heard interiorly, that is the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And as she prayed, the angel was unable to carry out his just punishment of mankind. Well, let's go back to June of our recorded by Sister Lucia when the third secret was revealed in 2000, in June of 2000. And it's at the left of Our Lady and a little above. She said, "We saw an angel with a flaming sword in his left hand. Flashing, it gave out flames that looked as though it was to set the world on fire, but it died out in contact with the splendor that Our Lady radiated towards him when from her right hand, pointing to the earth with his hand, the angel just cried out, 'Penance, penance, penance.'" Now, both of these occurred on the 13th of September, you know, in terms of the fifth anniversary of Fatima in 1917. Hers occurred on September 13th, 1935. So that's interesting that they both would come out like that. But the children saw this third secret on July 13th, in, yeah, you know, 1917. So we both see that there's an angel ready to execute, you know, punishment from God, and Saint Faustina sort of was like a little bit like Our Lady, you know, in there begging for forgiveness, begging for God to hold back this hand, to give people a chance. And I think that's a definite link between the two. That we're on the edge of annihilation if we don't start amending our lives.
Right. So there's this great message of God's participation in our lives, helping us with his grace and mercy. But there's also a warning that we have to, you know, we have to accept this grace and mercy and cooperate with it. And we have to change our lives. And both, you know, these are powerful images of a chastisement on the world that the three children of Fatima saw and Saint Faustina saw as well. But that, you know, they can be stopped by our prayers, by our penance. Divine Mercy Chaplet, imploring God's mercy. Didn't Jesus tell Faustina, "Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of my mercy"? And, you know, the same message at Fatima, that the Immaculate Heart prayed to her for peace. You know, there's a promise of peace in, when her Immaculate Heart triumphs, but we have to, you know, we have to participate in this. So yes, these are really powerful visions of a chastisement, and they're very similar to the messages of Our Lady of Akita as well. There was a vision of a chastisement there as well. And that was in 1973.
I like the way the two hearts are put together in both of them. See, Our Lady says, "My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way to lead you to God." And then our Lord tells Faustina, "Tell aching mankind to snuggle close to my merciful heart and I will fill it with peace." The two hearts are so intimately united. It, you know, St. John Eudes used to say they were one heart. And these two quotes show the two hearts so are so united that there's just no separation between them in their thoughts and their love for mankind and all of us.
And Jesus wanted, he told Sister Lucia, he wanted the heart of Mary to be, the devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary to be placed alongside the devotion to his Sacred Heart. So he's putting the two together there. And then we see this coming together as the Divine Mercy message. So the two hearts together, Mary pleading for us, obtaining graces for us. The grace is coming from Jesus crucified through his merciful heart.
And to further tie in this, you know, Jesus told Faustina, "Before the day of justice, I'm sending the day of mercy. I'm prolonging the time of mercy for the sake of sinners. But woe to them do not recognize this time of my visitation." You know, and Our Lady came and told her she's not only the Queen of Heaven, but the Mother of Mercy. Yeah. So we see the mercy theme and this theme of needing to save us from this annihilation that's coming. I mean, people, I just wish, you know, with the Divine Mercy Sunday coming up real quickly, we need more and more people going and doing what our Lord asked for that.
Yeah, and hopefully many people are participating with the novena that started on Good Friday.
Yeah.
That's something I do every year. It's a wonderful way to participate and be ready for the Divine Mercy Sunday and celebrate that feast day, which is such a beautiful gift to our world and to our church. So there's also links, Katie, to the prayers that we pray, that were taught to the children of Fatima and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. There's between the angel prayer particularly and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy prayers.
Yeah, definite link there. They're begging for the conversion of sinners. They're begging for mercy. They're begging for the graces we need to make reparation and repentance. And that's a definite third link, Barb. The call to repentance is in both of those messages. You know, both of them, they're calling us to repent and turn away from sin. You know, Father, the servant of God, Father John Harden once wrote, if there's one thing Our Lady stressed at Fatima, it was the imperative repent. That is why the sacrament of penance is all about. It is one of the conditions of Divine Mercy Sunday and the first Saturdays. They both require confession, Divine Mercy and the first Saturday. Because, of course, all of us hopefully have gone to confession, you know, especially since it's a call to duty once a year, but maybe doing it once a month with the first Saturdays. So when we look at this call to repentance, you know, the guardian angel or the angel of Fatima told the children, offer prayers and sacrifices constantly to the Most High. Make everything you can a sacrifice and offer to God as an act of reparation for the sins for which he's offended. This will draw down peace. So we got the image of the chalice, again, dripping from the last vision. And this compares to the chaplet prayers. You know, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. And then for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. This is just calling us to repent, to pray for sinners who have no one to pray for them. And of course, the final prayer is taken directly from the Divine Liturgy of St. John Chrysostom. We pray this before the epistle. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy and Immortal One, have mercy on us. Our Lord added on and the whole world. So it's a prayer that is beautiful to pray. I mean, when you pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And this ties them in, the Fatima prayers and the prayers revealed to St. Faustina, call to repentance.
Mm-hmm. And the angel prayer is very closely related to the chaplet prayer taught by the angel to the three children when he held up the host and the chalice and got down on his knees and bent his forehead to the ground and prayed, O most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly. I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifference with which he himself is offended. And through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. This prayer is so, I love this because it's offering the body, blood, soul, and divinity, just like the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, begging for an atonement for sins and sins of the whole world. The two are very similar. And so you see again, that these two, that, you know, we're being asked to participate, to pray with confidence that our Lord, you know, wants us to say these prayers. He taught them for a reason, and that we can bring down grace and mercy and peace upon our world if we, you know, make this time every day to learn these prayers, offer our rosary, offer the Chaplet of Mercy, spend time in adoration before our Lord, adoring Jesus and imploring his mercy.
That angel prayer, I can make a recommendation. I've done it for years, Most Holy Trinity, because the angel had the chalice suspended in the air with the host dripping above it. I will pray that when the priest does at the consecration and he raises the chalice the first time, you know, the host after he consecrates it. That's a beautiful prayer to pray because now you're praying like the children were praying when it was first raised before them. So that's just a thought throw out there if you want to know how to use that beautiful prayer. I pray it a lot. I pray it more than once a day. I pray that prayer a lot because I really, like you, Barb, I really love it. And I love the words and I love what it means and what you're praying for.
It's become a habit of mine to pray it when the priest starts to say the prayers of consecration. It kind of automatically rolls out of my mind and I start offering that prayer. And I, again, praying for the conversion of sinners, that's the moment of mercy when Christ, you know, died on the cross for us. That's when his blood and water came out from his heart. And it's such a powerful time. And again, pleading before the Father in heaven, offering the Son and standing at the foot of the cross with Mary. She was there when this happened. So we're standing there with her.
The fourth link, Barb, between the two, this one's a very short link because prayers taught interiorly to the two nuns were very similar. Both nuns would pray with God's mercy on the world while standing with their arms extended out to their sides in the same manner as our Lord's suffering on the cross. They prayed for the spiritual conversion of their home countries, Lucia for Portugal, Faustina for Poland. So I think that's interesting that God would direct them both to pray in the same manner. And I know Sister Lucia said, Our Lady's chosen instrument for the communication of these divine mysteries, she said, who better than this Immaculate Heart could have revealed to us the secrets of divine mercy? Mm. So it started with Fatima and her Immaculate Heart, and she just prepared the hearts, especially those who embraced the message, to be ready to embrace divine mercy when it would come. Yeah. It's like the two just walk hand in hand. Okay, now you got this, and now this is the culmination. This is how we're going to finish this off.
You know, I find it interesting that you're talking about how they both prayed for their home countries. They also both were praying for Russia.
Yes.
There's an interesting, I don't remember the exact number in St. Faustina's diary where she said she had prayed for Russia that day. And of course, at that time, Russia was in the throes of this totalitarian system in the 1930s and was killing massive amounts of people, especially starting with the people, you know, the priests and the religious people. And I don't know how many Orthodox priests and bishops and Catholic priests and bishops were killed under that system. But they had started the Red Terror in order to enforce their atheistic system. And so there was many people knew what was going on. Lucia knew what was happening. They were both praying for Russia. And there's a point where St. Faustina said she was praying for Russia that day. And she felt that our Lord said to her in prayer, that country would already have been reduced to nothingness if it was not for the prayers of others, the prayers and sacrifices. So back in the 1930s, his patience with Russia had already, but his mercy was extended to Russia. And that country still stands today because of God's mercy, because of the prayers of other people. And I imagine those children at Fatima were praying, and Lucia was praying, and all the people that took up the message of Fatima were praying for that country, and the popes, and, you know, who knows, but our prayers and our sacrifices matter. They have they can actually change the course of history. They can hold back God's wrath. Countries can be saved. I mean, and then what is our Lord telling Sister Lucia around that same time in the 1930s, that Russia will be converted because it has been entrusted to the Immaculate Heart of Mary? I mean, look at how God's intervening in our world all the time. We don't always see it until we look back in history and we put the things together. So don't ever give up on offering prayers and sacrifices and understanding they have great meaning, and our Lord accepts all of this, and we're participating with him in his plan for the world.
The fifth link I found, Barb, and I'm sure there's many more. If people really start reading these two messages, apparitions, they're going to find a lot more than you and I have found. But the last one is the reality of hell. Both at Fatima and Faustina were given visions of hell. I think St. Faustina's was more intense because she actually was taken there, whereas the children just witnessed it when the ground opened up. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, they were very similar in what they experienced.
Yeah. And why were they showing hell? Because when you think about it, you know, Dives and Lazarus, you know, walking next to Father Abraham, can you show my family hell? You know, no, we can't do that. You know, even if somebody would rise from the dead. So it was denied then. And it was, you know, we don't hear of anybody witnessing this in the apparitions. Then you come to Fatima and Our Lady obtains this grace to see hell, to save souls. So the reality of hell would set in, because today people do not believe in the existence of hell. And if they do, and this has been told to me, well, it's going to be just like now, a continuation of now. I'm just going to be living the life I'm living now, except it's going to be for eternity. So they either A, doesn't believe it exists, or B, believes that it's not going to be very a bad place to be. Mm-hmm. And it's a horrible concept to think that people would think this of hell and not understand what it is and what the reality of it is.
Yes, and I, you know, Sister Faustina, when she witnessed hell, she said, I, Sister Faustina Kowalska, by the order of God, have visited the abysses of hell so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. She said, the devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things I saw. But I noticed one thing. The most souls there are those who disbelieve that there is a hell. And, you know, the way she described the sea of fire, the demons, the souls, you know, the shrieking and the groaning and all the horrors that she saw, herself and Sister Lucia also reported they would have died of terror had they not known that they were going to go to heaven and that their Blessed Mother was with them. But also they both, you know, the little children of Fatima and Saint Faustina, they both reacted the same way to the vision, and that they started to pray more for conversions because they didn't want anybody to have to go there.
And they prayed that their prayers changed. And hell is not something that, when you talk about it, to scare you. Hell is a reality, and it's a choice people make to go there. Free will sends them there. One of the saints said Our Lady stops, save for souls, her children, only at the gates of hell, because she knows she can't pull them out once they're in there. Mm-hmm. And so hell is a reality, but yet it's not a place to scare us. It should be a place for us to realize it's there and why we want to pray for people who fall into hell. And what's the importance of the divine mercy? I know St. John Bosco, in his book, Heaven and Hell, which were, he called them dreams, he saw thousands and thousands falling into the depths of the abyss, which is why he stepped out and formed the foundation for boys on the streets. But our Lord gives us words of hope when he says, I promise that the soul who venerates this image, the one of divine mercy, should have one hanging in your home. He said, will not perish. I also promise victory over its enemies already here on earth, especially at the hour of death, and I will defend it as my own glory. So the victory over the enemies is not your neighbor. The victory over the enemies are the demons who are going to try at the last moment of death to assault you, to get you, to capture you, you know, to keep you from making your peace with God. And he says he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. Venerate this. So you know that, as the saints of old did, you hang on to the, you know, you hang on to Christ. That's who is there for you. And I love this. I mean, I have the Divine Mercy in my home, in my living room, and I actually got a copy of it, and I have it on my front door. So people who come in my front door, that's the first thing they see is Divine Mercy as they walk into my home, because I want my home protected. And I want to be always aware of God's Divine Mercy. There, you should never despair.
Right.
That God cannot forgive a sin you've committed. And that's a horrible temptation from Satan.
Yeah, and to remember that our Lord and our Lady are both asking us to snuggle close to their hearts. And you know, if we do the first Saturday devotions, Our Lady promises also to be with us at the time of our death with all the graces necessary for our salvation. And so we can trust in our Lord. You know, Jesus wants us to trust in him. That's his greatest sorrow, when people don't trust in him. They turn away from his mercy. So that is what divine mercy is trying to reinforce to us. And that's what Our Lady was trying to reinforce. You know, turn your will over to God. He's the one that will let him guide you. So again, to turn our lives and our wills over to God, to surrender all those things that are weighing heavily on us, and to trust in Jesus that he's leading us through these times. So Katie, anything else? I just thank you for joining me on this important discussion about the divine mercy. Is there anything else you want to add before we end?
No, I just hope, like you said, everybody's doing the novena, and that everybody's ready to go to Divine Mercy Sunday and to receive that mercy and that forgiveness. You know, I used to think that would be a nice time to die, walking out of church after Divine Mercy Sunday.
And what does our Lord want us to do on that day? He wants us to pray the Chaplet of Mercy, venerate the image of divine mercy, and go to confession. You can go to confession within 8 days, I believe. Is that correct?
And especially during the Easter season, which the church requires of you once a year to partake of the sacraments.
Yes.
So and hopefully of course people are doing it more than once a year.
And of course it's a Sunday, and so we're hopefully going to Mass and Holy Communion that day. But to just remind you, pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet, especially at 3:00, the Hour of Mercy. Venerate the image, go to confession, be cleaned. And there's a great indulgence attached to this Divine Mercy Sunday. So you can apply that to a soul in purgatory or for yourself. So to shave off that time that we might spend in purgatory ourselves. So participate, learn more about the Divine Mercy message, and read more about Fatima. I like to recommend the book of Sister Lucia's biography, written by the Carmelite sisters in Portugal, who she lived with for 55 years, A Pathway Under the Gaze of Mary. If you want to learn more about these final visions that Lucia saw, her whole life up until the time of her death, and then also the diary of Saint Faustina, is very popular with many people to learn more about the Divine Mercy message. You can get both of these at shopfatima.com. So thank you for joining us, and we hope you have a blessed week, blessed Easter season.